Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. In this episode number 573, I'm welcoming to the show Haley Scully.
What does God's word say? How can I begin practicing his word? And that's the piece as a little girl growing up in church, going every Sunday and singing Father's Eyes by Amy Grant, two consecutive fifth Sunday sings in a row. I mean, I'm dyed in the wool, right? I grew up in it. I didn't know how to apply the word of God beyond just heaven and hell and salvation. I didn't know how to have him set me free. And I think that's what we've been able to do in a lot of ways. And what I experienced that people need to understand that shift in perspective.
For over 15 years, Haley has been a part of the organization Hope for the Heart. She's now a senior vice president there. She's also a speaker, an author, a counselor, and a podcaster. She co-hosts the show Hope Talks. That's where I first met her. And today, she and I are talking about AI and faith. Now, in my last episode, Sissy Goff shared her concerns about parents going to AI for parenting advice and how it's information, not wisdom. Well, I knew I had this interview with Haley coming up, and so I was so curious to hear more about this tool that Hope for the Heart has developed and partnered with Pray.com. Basically, it is an AI tool that integrates the data from over 40 years of biblical counseling content and wisdom so that when people are searching for answers related to anxiety, pain, disappointment, emotional struggles, they can get biblically based answers and support and direction to even counselors and other things. And so we have a whole conversation about that because this is new waters for all of us, integrating AI into our world. So I'm excited to share it with you. Let's get right to it. Here we go. Haley, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Thank you, Heather. I am literally excited to be here. So thank you.
You're such a fun hang. Such a good time with you. I got to go on your podcast. I don't even know when that was. What is time?
Too long ago.
But right. I'm thrilled to get to share you with my listeners. We're going to talk about lots of different things, but I do want them to get to know you and a little bit of your story. So take us back. You work for Hope for the Heart. I've already told them all that in the intro.
Okay.
How did you get there?
Kicking and screaming. Is that where I should start? Yes. No, yes. I am. So we are in Dallas, in the Dallas area near you, but I am an Oklahoma girl. I lead with that. So I am from Oklahoma, loved it, told God I never wanted to live in Texas, all those things. When I was about 31 years old, he flipped my script. He asked me if I would be he's always giving us options, but I was wondering what in the world was going on. And he asked me if I was ready to follow him and be all in, as I had kind of committed to him back in my Falls Creek days when I was in high school and going to church camp. I love the Lord. I grew up in church, grew up in a family that went to church, but was trying to run my own script for a long, long time. And when I was 31, I went to seminary in Fort Worth and got my master's degree in counseling. Thought I would run right back up to Oklahoma, you know, sit on the porch with my grandma on the weekends and drink coffee and be with my family and do all those things that to me were a blessed and good life. And he just never got on the same page with all of my to-dos and to-don'ts. And so I came to Hope for the Heart and started getting my LPC in counseling here. And about halfway through getting those hours and doing what I felt he had called me to and going to seminary, I flipped it again and I started working in our international ministry. And so I've been at Hope for 15 years, been to 38 countries now, doing basic counseling training, equipping the church, families, church leaders, parents, friends to care for one another biblically. You know, how do we pull our advice and our wisdom and our counsel and our mentoring from the Word of God? So it is inexpressibly a joy to me to get to do all the things that I had asked him to never ask me to do, because I asked him never send me anywhere. My life is opposite of my expectations and actually of my requests. And there's a whole lot of that I am very, very grateful for. It's a long answer and the short answer.
I love it. I love it. What is interesting to me, so you didn't end up, well, you're not counseling individuals in an office, tell me about your mother.
Correct.
You are teaching people how to love each other in their church communities, in their they're all different communities.
Right.
So you're almost, you're a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm training people. The people are very aware of the need. They're very aware of the hard conversations. Yeah. They're very aware that our mental health issues are, we're struggling in different ways. I've had an incredible opportunity to see that reality, not only here in the United States, but in third world contexts, in first world. I like to say everywhere from, you know, huts to high rises, we have the same enemy that attacks our emotional and our spiritual well-being in the same way. And we have an incredible God who meets us so tenderly in all of those various places. So the variables of the context change, but the heart, the being hurt, being angry, being afraid, being worried, grieving, all of those human emotions are consistent, and I get to testify to the fact that going to God's word in all of those areas, no matter, you know, if it's first world, third world, God's word is the hope and the help everywhere we go. And so I have to remember that in my own life, and I just had a beautiful opportunity to see that played out in so many different places.
And a huge part of Hope for the Heart is it was started by June Hunt, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Okay.
Tell us a little bit about her and her passion for exactly what you are talking about.
Okay. So we are celebrating 40 years of Hope for the Heart.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wait, like, I have to do math. 1986.
Sure. I have shoes on right now, so I can't count it out.
Like, okay. Pretty sure. In my head, 1986 is only like 14 years ago, but sure.
I know.
Sure,
it is 40. Surprising. Yeah. So June, in her own story, June has an incredible story, came from a family that had a lot of dysfunction. She has shared that in many spaces. Her dad kind of had three families going on at the same time, kind
this
of consecutively.
This is the Hunt family.
Hunt family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, she was very aware of the solutions or the examples that she saw in her family growing up weren't necessarily the godly solutions to life issues. So as she became a really strong believer, she was in youth ministry at First Baptist Dallas here in this area and working with kids, but then parents would come and she was like, I don't have the answers. Mm. So she got very used to digging into scripture. She'll say, like, she's very math oriented. If A plus B equals C, then how do I get there? She just thinks very logically and practically. So as she went into ministry and started to address some of these heart issues, out of that came our, what we call now, our Keys for Living library. So we have a library of over 100 topics, 108, if I'm just really locking in on a number.
Wow. Because your shoes are off now? What?
Shoes are off. They're actually, yeah, I can count now. Well, that I have memorized. That's okay, like 4 plus 4 is 8. I've got it memorized. But so she just started with a really practical way to how do we address everyday issues with the word of God, which to me, the word for that is discipleship.
Yeah.
How do we actually follow Christ in those everyday issues? And so June has been on air. She's had a radio program for years where she's doing counseling live on air, taking whatever comes at her, you know, on the phone, and it goes out over the radio waves. So we have this library that our ministry for 40 years has been developing to help equip people. And then she's been modeling that for many years. So it's been an extreme honor to me to get to learn from her and to get to help multiply her in a way as we've equipped others to respond to issues in their lives and in the lives of the people that they serve.
And it's distinctive from other counseling that may follow possibly like whatever the hottest trend is. She's staying solid on theology and biblical information and drawing her counseling from that, correct?
Yeah, I would say it's distinctive. kind of in my experience, you know, going through my master's program, getting the NCE, doing all the things to kind of walk out the legal way of doing counseling, for instance, a lot of secular counseling stops with who can I blame? Who can I point the finger to? And not just blame, but like, okay, where's the insight? I feel this way. I have this way because this happened. Maybe it was my parents or my society or my culture. Kind of as long as I'm absolved of responsibility for putting myself, and I feel heard, you know, somebody did this to me. So, but that doesn't heal our hearts. So one of the things that I love about Hope for the Heart and about June's perspective of it is every single one of our topics, all of the keys, all of our library or whatever, it is definitions. How do we define the issue? How do we, I'm going to use anger as an example. You might come to me and say, you know, my spouse is angry all the time. Well, in my experience, anger is yelling or a loud voice or raised voice. But in your experience, what you mean by that is that the spouse is hitting. You know, we have different definitions of anger. Our resources help the person that's trying to care for somebody and the person that's hurting get on the same page. And what does God's word say about anger? And then the next section of every single one of our topics, characteristics. What does it look like? I might say I don't have an anger problem, but if I look at the characteristics of it, I'm very passive aggressive, but I am seething. I may call it depression. I may call it anxiety, but at the root of it, I am mad as fire, as some people might say. And realizing that it's not necessarily depression, but my issue is anger, and getting to the real root of what my struggle is really, really helpful. Causes, why do I feel this way? What have been my experiences that lead me? I'm not just a jerk that struggles with anger, but I've had these experiences and those things lead to anger. But then the most powerful part, and this is the part where it's different than secular, is what are the steps to solution? What does God's word say? How can I begin practicing his word? And that's the piece as a little girl growing up in church, going every Sunday and singing Father's Eyes by Amy Grant, two consecutive fifth Sunday sings in a row. I mean, I'm dyed in the wool, right? I grew up in it. I didn't know how to apply the word of God beyond just heaven and hell and salvation. I didn't know how to have him set me free. And I think that's what we've been able to do in a lot of ways, and what I experience that people need to understand that shift in perspective.
And not like this Band-Aid or Pollyanna or like, well, just believe God's good.
Right.
This is deeper than that. This is deeper than that. This is actually, like you said, getting to the root instead of, I think scripture in the past, in my experience growing up in the church, was just like a list of I shouldn't feel that.
Right.
I shouldn't be angry. I should be grateful. Like if I'm dealing with discontent, instead of maybe like dialing it back. Where's the root of the discontent? What am I believing about myself or God or others that's leading me there?
Yeah. I have zero poker face, Heather, not with the Lord or anybody else. And so I sometimes feel like I am patient zero with this ministry. Like I came here and I thought I was going to be counseling everybody else, and the Lord just started reading my mail on all of this. So I, 50 years old, I've never been married. I don't have kids. So I'm not a mom, but I love the don't mom alone.
You are mothering so many. Mothering so many. I know you don't believe that. You're like, shut up. I've heard that already.
Well, they need to be sending me Christmas presents. I'll tell you that right now.
You're not calling on Mother's Day. That's the problem.
It's true.
Yes.
But that whole is God good thing. And I never was able to fake it enough. So as I struggled and wrestled with this, like I said, I kind of started all this ministry stuff at 31, a little later. I started at Hope for the Heart when I was 35. I had to put my money where my mouth was. And as I started doing this work, letting God do this work in me, and the truth was, I wasn't convinced that God was good because I was waiting to see God's goodness and him answering my prayers. And the prayers that I was asking him to answer was that I would get married, that I would have kids, that he would put me in the family that I expected a blessed life to look like. And those were not his answers for me. He was so gracious in that. He has provided for me. He has given me a place. But I had to wrestle with, if I'm expecting his goodness to look like this and this isn't what he's doing, then is he not good? Mm-hmm. Am I going to walk away here? Or is he good? And I really need to dig into what my expectations are and allow him to comfort me. And that was really painful in my late 30s, heading into the dreaded 40 years old. That's now been 10 years ago. But heading into that 40 and allowing him, understanding him to be good in the midst of a lot of disappointment and pain. Now he did it. He set me free. I do no longer, that's proper English. I'm real good at the English language. I do not ask if he's good anymore. He is good. And things are sometimes still very difficult and very hard. So how do I process that? How do I cope with that? So listen, whether or not I worked at Hope for the Heart or not, this discipling that I have received through doing this work is literally what anchors me to him. He is my anchor, and I've wrestled to get to that place with him.
Yeah. No, that's very real. I appreciate you sharing vulnerably of your own heart and what he has worked on with you, because that's what I want people to see, that this isn't just like, here's a list of Bible verses that deal with your struggle and just repeat them to yourself and then you'll start believing it. It's a deeper work with God and with others.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
What I really want to talk about is you have this new partnership.
Yes.
With pray.com.
We do.
And here's the root of it, y'all. If you already heard I'm going to have an accent because you have an accent. Just know I have really
strong. Do I really? Well, I know sometimes.
I have really strong mirror neurons and it's a problem. So I'm going to start talking like you.
Okay. I like it.
So I interviewed David Thomas and Sissy Goff, who are counselors with parents, and they said they're very concerned about the number of parents who are turning to AI for parenting advice, and they want to make sure that parents do go to God and only like maybe two experts, like not like real people who really know them and really know their problem. And I had admitted, I'm like, I've gone to AI for like, what kind of consequence should I give this kid that, you know, did X, Y, and Z? And the reality is, in my experience with technology, is it not going away.
Right.
This concept of going to AI, like my kids are using it to process life. Yeah. This happened. Why am I feeling this way? This is true. People are turning to AI. And what I thought was interesting when I got the email about what's happening with y'all, so I'm like, oh, okay. Once again, technology can be technology, and just like water, you can drown in it or it can give you life. We can decide, do we use this tool for good or for evil? And I love that y'all are going to offer a good option. So tell us more about this. I've rambled on. Tell us more about what's going on with Hope for the Heart and pray.com.
Well, I think you're so right. It's not going away. Everybody, I mean, not everybody. I like to not everybody and nothing, whatever. lot of us are going to AI. Yeah, it's quick and it's easy. You know, used to we went to the library. Used to we would get books, and we can all of that now is put into AI. So why would we not go there? Why wouldn't we investigate it? I think you, like you're saying, we need to have wisdom in that. But telling people to not go to that well isn't realistic, I think, is what we're finding. So we have 40 years of content. All of these AI machines are fed content from somewhere. And yeah. So the thing that's been so exciting with Prey.com and what their leadership really connected with us and saying, we want this content, 40 years worth of biblical wisdom, credibility, integrity. Like, we didn't just start this last week and now we have been building this lake for a long time. So Prey.com said, let us take all of that, the radio broadcast that June has been doing, our content, the books that have been touched by so many people, that scripture is the center of all of it. Everything is fed into this, the AI chat. People can find it through Prey.com. They can find it on our website. They can ask their questions into that, knowing that it has been informed by scripture and by our content. And listen, we tested it. We have an incredible team. We've asked the hard questions. We've asked all the things, and nothing is perfect. Listen, the Holy Spirit is our discernment. Yeah. He is our guide. And so that going to this well and saying, here's the question that I have, or here's the hard question I have, I'm just going to shoot real straight. Sexual questions that young people have, kids have, couples have, things that they may not go and buy the book on, or they may not want it to show up on Amazon. So sometimes we just don't get the help that we need. Well, through our content, through these opportunities, making sure that it's an AI that's informed with sound scripture, that ends up being a safe place that people can ask those questions. And that's what we want. We all want freedom and help. We tell people it needs to be safe. You can be vulnerable. You can be real. But the truth is, we need to be selective about where we're real. And having this opportunity through this AI channel, that's something that we have been extremely excited about. Because like you said, we know people are going to that well. So let's make sure the water is clean. Let's make sure that it's living water. Oh, do you like how I made that a living water? That was a super, I'm real proud of that. Yeah.
Church girl coming but out. Church
let's girl make it out. Living water.
Flowing. That's what we've been flowing, not stagnant. Flowing. Yes. That is so good.
That's our hope.
So when you first heard this idea that they were going to do this, I know you just said what a great option it is. Did you have any hesitation, or did you have a gut reaction like, no, we can't do that? What was your first reaction?
I didn't have a no, we can't do that, because we've been trying to find partners that we went to this conference called Missional AI that brought together a lot of organizations. How are we using AI? How do we do this right? And I'm like, you guys, let our content inform it, you know, like let our scripture, let these questions and answers that are already there inform it. So I was really excited, but the reality of the responsibility of that very much hit me. You know, as a trained counselor, like understanding the ethics, feeling responsible for the people that are going to be asking questions. Think I may not be in a counseling room meeting them face to face, but I do feel a responsibility for the care that we're providing them. Yeah. So absolutely, the brevity of the situation was not something we took lightly. We had to talk it through. What is the responsibility here, and how do we steward this well? Not be afraid of it, not tell people quit going to AI because we're not their mama. But what we are is a ministry that's focused on helping them get to God's word and doing that in a safe way. So definite, not really hesitation, excitement, but a depth of responsibility that we take very seriously.
How long ago was that y'all went to that?
We launched this in February.
But like, when did you go to that conference?
Oh, Missional AI. It was last year. They just had another one in California like a couple of weeks ago. It was like the third one. So Biblica, that does the NIV translation. I get to do some work with them. They started it and it has just exploded. So GLU and Barna, a lot of organizations that are in these spaces trying to help the churches manage this well and ministries manage this well. They are the leaders in these spaces now. I think it was either March or February of last year. We went, June went. I mean, June's biggest duck in the puddle. She wants to learn and make sure that we're stewarding and managing this well. So about five people from our team went and just trying to soak it in. And what we heard over and over is that people are taking their counseling questions, their hearts, their hurts, they're taking it to AI.
Yeah.
And so saying we have had for 40 years a ministry devoted to speaking this language, let us be a part of informing that content.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that people will always be like, no, we want them to go to a counselor. We want them to go to real people. We want them to go to their community. Yeah, there's all these ideals of what we want.
Right.
But you do also have to look at what is really, really happening, and you don't want people getting information that is not helpful or hurtful, right, in fact. And so, like, even, I don't know, it's Eric Scalise. Dr. Eric, is he part of the team?
Yeah. Yeah. He's our president. He's my president. Boss. He's okay. My direct boss. Yeah.
Yes. And he would say that AI doesn't replace the relationship between a person and God. It guides them towards his word and real help. So that is the honest goal, right, of what you're doing is this is not a replacement. This is a guide. And absolutely, if they're already going to go to something, we'd rather them have something that the content put into it is solid.
Absolutely. I would say personally, and I think I can speak for our teams here, we want people to know how to go to God's word for themselves. That is our ultimate end goal, discipleship of the believer. That's our end goal. A next step goal is we want to connect them with the local church. We want them to find safe people in their area. So even the AI, the chatbot, will say, you know, here's what we're seeing. And then we really encourage you to connect with a local church, find somebody, you know, that's one of the goals that we have. So helping people feel safe enough to take the lid off the jar, but then also what would their next steps be? We don't want them to grow dependent on an AI chatbot. Right. We want them to understand, get some answers, sound answers to the questions that they have right away, but then lead them to God's word themselves and lead them to the church.
It's really good.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
What does it look like? I mean, just walk me through. Like, I just tried to pull up. Do you have to have an account with pray.com?
You don't. You don't. Okay. You can find it on pray.com. You go to, it's going to make noise, but you go to pray.com, you look for the chat, and then there's a hope for the heart. And it has like June's picture. My head is floating up there.
Look for the chat. Okay, wait, hold on. Is it an app?
It's an app. Pray.com is an app, but it's a free app.
I'm going to do it right now with people. So people, if you want, like go to your app store, get pray.com app. Mm-hmm. It's Bible and daily prayer. So this is a great app just to have.
It is great.
I mean, I guess it's tricky these days with anything faith. You're like, where are they leaning? What is their denomination? You know?
Right.
It's a tricky thing these days to be.
You'll see. It's pretty across the board on Pray. They have great.
Like, is it all denominations? Like, I have boys that go to Catholic school. Like, are we talking about?
Yes. Oh,
okay. It is talking. You're right. It is talking.
Yeah, it talks right away. But if you go to, on mine, you go to chat down at the bottom.
Okay.
And that leads you right in. You can then select. Usually it shows you different AI chats that are available. And Hope for the Heart is up towards the top or should be right there.
So there's different
click on chat and then Hope for the Heart.
Feeding it.
Yeah. Yeah. There may be other pastors where they, well, the Hope for the Heart channel is just Hope for the Heart content. That's pretty exclusive. And also you can go to our website. So if you go to our website, hopefortheheart.org, the chat option that is on our homepage, that is also going into this AI chat as well.
Okay.
And you I'll can ask you, anything there.
When I started it, it asked, it was, had a bunch of questions and I just skipped all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It says, to move forward, please specify seeking daily guidance rooted in biblical wisdom.
Sure.
I guess so.
Okay.
I mean, it's creating my spiritual journey widget.
Right. Right.
To move forward, would you like inspirational quotes?
I guess maybe since this is the first time you've done it.
I know. Like I'm just saying, I'm just letting people you. Know the reality.
I love that.
Enable yeah. prayer time reminders.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. I mean, y'all, I'm just going to be so spiritual after this. But my question, like, is it like a mom who's Catholic, would this be something that would meet her needs or is it primarily evangelical? It's asking me what leaders I like. So this is kind of guiding what kind of voices do you prefer?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of different pastors that are listed. Okay. So I think you can kind of choose different lanes. There's Pray TV. So there's always kind of an episode of something showing. Our work is very specifically non-denominational. That was something that I think was very wise from June from the beginning. So like when we're overseas doing training, I've worked with the Anglican Church, the Catholic Church, the AG, Baptist, Methodist. We work with everybody because our content is really just rooted in Scripture. And not in the denominational differences that sometimes do choke us up. But as far as pray.com as a whole, I'm not exactly sure what all voices would be represented on their platform. Yeah. But I know they have a lot of partners that they have worked with and their subscription numbers are huge. So there's a lot. And you can download it without paying for a subscription, you know, just like other.
They do prompt you multiple times. I'll just let people know, like, that you could subscribe to different things like a sleep thing. That's not what we're talking about. I just don't want people to get off track on that. Hope for the Heart. I would say go to their website.
Yeah. Go to our website. Simple. Start there. You can connect in our, cause the other thing, our Hope Talks podcast is on Pray. June's radio program is on Pray. So a lot of our content is there as well. So a lot of people can connect into Pray, find the different leaders and voices that they want. And they're all there in one space, which is really great. And then the AI opportunities there, the chat's there as well. But you can get that from our website too.
Amazing.
My mom was one that was like, I'm not paying for a subscription. And I'm the same way. Like so it does prompt you for that, but you don't have to do that.
It really prompts you, Haley. Like it really... Get in the subscription. I know.
They know their stuff. So it's good, but you can kind of avoid those pieces.
Okay. I'm looking and I'm curious if like a church leader or a ministry, they're listening and they're like, okay, this is great. What advice do you have to them for navigating this whole ministry technology space responsibly? Do you have any, like anything you've learned as you've done this partnership?
Well, I think, I mean, I don't know what all I've learned. I think I think the main thing is don't run away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when just like way back in the day when we tried to get everybody to not dance.
Mm.
I mean, I won't go all Footloose on you, but
I wasn't allowed to wear jeans.
Yeah.
Jeans could lead to dancing and dancing could lead to mommy daddy time.
Right?
That's bad.
That's right. You know, so it's a matter of like, let's look at where we are and remember that God is here.
Yeah.
You know, I was having a conversation with a family member talking about how terrible things are going to get ahead, the AI and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, God is there too.
Yeah.
Let's not assume what's coming is godlessness. This is the new well. This is a place our kids are going to. This is a place where we're going to mm-hmm. ask, like, what do I do about this? And how do I say this? So the fact that wisdom, our earthly wisdom, is all kind of gathered in one place, let's be intentional, because if we put our head in the sand and say, this isn't happening, and by George, they're going to listen to me preach on Sunday instead of ask their questions into something, that's short-sighted. So I would just say, go to God.
Yeah.
Let's not be afraid of what technology is doing or where it's heading. Let's go with it. Like Henry Blackaby, where is God at work, and how can I join him in it? You know, this is a new way to join God in this work. And so that's what I would encourage. And then pray for understanding. Mm-hmm. You know, that's part of like our ministry. Listen, one of the silliest things ever was me walking into a AI conference. I am so technologically, no, I'm not that girl. That's not who I am, but I am desperate to fulfill this mission and this ministry. And that's to help people go to God's word where they're hurting. And if they're taking their hurts into AI, then that's where we want to meet them. And that's what I would just encourage pastors. I think organizations like Barna, organizations that are helping churches understand this better or have these conversations, I think it's so important right now. So it's been an honor to join with these groups and connect with Pray and be a part of hopefully the leading edge. I mean, who would have thought that June Hunt, after 40 years, would help lead us on a leading edge of getting God's word into AI? But that's where we are. And I'm really grateful that we're there. And I hope people lean into it. I hope that they ask their questions and they get them answered.
It says a lot for June that she's in that learning posture and that she's willing. I don't know. She went with her feet. It sounds like she went to the conference. She was ready.
She wanted to. Our team, our techie team, you know, we were ready to go. And June was like, I want to go. And they're taking notes.
Hashtag goals. So, okay.
That's right. I know. She was all about it.
I went to the hopefortheheart.org and I clicked on the chat at the bottom and it says, good afternoon. I'm here on behalf of Hope for the Heart. What's on your heart today? And there were options like, try asking me, I'm stressed and I need a word of encouragement. I need guidance on a difficult situation. What does the Bible say about? And then, you know, so
yeah,
y'all, that's all right there. I know we're talking about digital and ways to help you through your phones, your computers, but y'all do offer options for those who are listening that are local. I know not everybody is. Can you just talk for a second about the event coming up in June, June 13th, what's happening there, and if people are local and want to go?
Yeah. And it is virtual. So people can live stream. We have people from all over the place that'll watch and lean into it. But, you know, a big piece, we've never been good at just dropping off books and walking away. We want to connect hearts and questions and community in this work that we're doing. So we have really leaned in the last couple of years for coaches, for counselors, for ministry leaders. So we have a one-day event that's in June. We have a three-day conference that'll be this fall, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. But this first one is called to care, from hurt to hope. And we have incredible church leaders, Dr. Shanti Feldham, I'm going blank on all of us that are going to be there right now. We can go online and see that. Okay, thank you. We just had her on our podcast.
Shanti is amazing.
She's amazing.
She came on the show. What is her book? Softer? Something. Try Softer? Try Softer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Yeah, I should have had more notes here for me.
No, I know. You all know, you've heard her, you loved her, so go to that, okay?
She's so fantastic. She's one of our main speakers, really speaking about church hurt and walking that through, so much research. So we love having her.
Dr. James Sells, June yes. Hunt, Dr. Jennifer Ripley, Dr. Liban or Liban? Abraham.
Liban Abraham.
Oh, this really famous Haley Scully.
Right, who's very fluent in her wording and language.
And Dr. Yeah. Eric Scalise.
Yeah. Okay. So it's an equipping day. It's
do people get that are continuing ed if they're in the
Not specifically for this event this year. We are starting to introduce that for our Hope Together event for licensed counselors to be, you know, we started kind of in a coaching lane and ministry lane, but we do have a lot more licensed people that are coming to figure out and hear how to integrate this into their counsel. So more and more on that, we are growing in that direction and super excited about it. But we want to be practical. It is a come and get equipped, come and, you know, we know the load is heavy. We know that there is a lot going on and a lot of people are doing incredible work in their churches, in their homes. We want to help lift their arms in the ministry that they're doing. And so our community and our conferences are one of the main ways that we can engage with people and encourage them. Counselors and people that are doing this work, we get kind of isolated. And so helping them come together and be supported and encouraged is something we are very committed to.
That's amazing. So the one in June, y'all heard, is mm-hmm. a one day. And then there's mm-hmm. one in October that is 3 days that has Lisa Harper, Dr. Kurt Thompson, Daniel Strickland, David Kinnerman, Sheila Walsh. Oh, another Haley Scully, Scott yeah. Hamilton.
Scott Hamilton. Thank you for having that reaction right there.
What the heck?
I'm so excited to meet
That's
him.
That's amazing. Oh, Jonathan Evans. I love him. Man. I'm friends with his sister. He is amazing. Reggie yeah. Stone, Danny Adams, and June Hunt. Amazing. So y'all go check all that out on their website, hopefortheheart.org. And if you are needing some support as someone who provides care and counsel, go. Be supported. Be inspired. Be trained in biblical things.
It's so fun. I'm kind of a conference junkie. I love it. I love staying up late and my feet hurting and drinking coffee and talking with people and hugging. I love the whole nine yards. And these conferences have just become really special to connect with people that way.
Well, Haley, thank you for being here.
Well, thank
you. I love your heart for hurting people and your boldness to embrace these new things. Yeah. And how to reach more people. It's really inspiring. And so this is really important work. I'm really grateful that you're doing it and that I get to share you with others and this resource with others. So thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I mean, I represent a whole bunch of people. So I just appreciate you helping us share this message more. Thank you.
Honored. Okay. I can't quite remember how we ended up ending the episode and me checking out the tool, but I would say after I got off the call, I went to the Hope for the Heart website and found it to be a lot easier to navigate. If you want to go check that out, I'm going to pray for us. Maybe like Haley, you are finding yourself in an unexpected place and a challenge, and you are navigating that. You're in the waiting. You don't quite see where God's headed. You can't quite experience what she described of seeing how God used the places and the spaces you were for his good and his glory. And so I'm going to pray over us. Lord, we know that you see the whole journey. You see where we're headed. You see the outcome. You have big plans, and we are just a part of what you're doing, that you are sovereign, that you are good. And yet we can still find ourselves in really hard, unexpected places, places that don't fit the narrative of those around us, that we look a little different. Maybe our kids look a little different than we had hoped or than our friends' kids. And we're struggling to see what you're doing. And I pray, Lord, that we could hold on to hope, that we could have hope for weary hearts, that we could come to you, go to your word, be reminded of the truth of your character and how you have worked, so we can hold out an expectation that you will work things out for good and for your goodness and for our own goodness. And we thank you for Haley sharing so vulnerably her own story. We thank you for this tool, Lord. I do pray that it gets people more into your word and into just some healthy, wise guidance for their life and for their paths and what's hard right now, and that they would find the healing and hope that only comes in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, thanks y'all for joining me today with Haley. Send me any questions you have about what she shared. And next week, it's another one of our top 10 episodes. It's with Susie Larson. I absolutely loved that conversation. And so meet me back here next week. All right, have a good one. Bye.
I
hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.